forget to smile. And we need to be reminded. And Lord, it has been a blessing, all the rain. And it's a blessing that it's not raining inside here. You know, that was a time that every time we dreaded rain because of our roof. But we're thankful that we have a good roof now. Well, tonight we're going to begin a brand new series. And this is something I'm really excited about sharing because it's something that God has really spoken to me about personally. And the title of the series is Love Gone Wrong, addressing the idols of the heart. You don't hear much preaching about idols in churches today. And so I think this is going to be a very helpful and needed series. We're going to learn that during this series, we're going to learn that idolatry is a love that's gone wrong. And idolatry lies at the heart of every besetting sin that we struggle with. I'm not going to deal with that part tonight, but we will in some future messages. It's just going to be an introduction tonight, but we're going to be looking at that in time. Back in July of 2002, it's been some time ago, about 19 years ago, my wife and I, we took a two-week mission trip to China, and we went there with the purpose of visiting missionaries and also praying about the possibility of being missionaries in China. And we were seriously praying about it and wanting the Lord's will. And it was a very interesting trip of about 14 days in the country. While we were there, not only were we able to visit missionaries and a couple of churches, we were able to visit some of the tourist sites. And my favorite was the Great Wall of China. That was just amazing to be able to spend some time at the Great Wall. We were also able to go to Tiananmen Square. And some of you know the history about that, the protests there and all of that. We also went to the Forbidden City, and I want to just share something about that place, the Forbidden City. It's a palace complex that was built from 1406 to 1420. I mean, that's way, way back. And it served as an imperial palace for the emperor of China from the Ming Dynasty to the Qing Dynasty. So this spans from 1420 to 1924. And this palace complex is surrounded by just amazing gardens. And not just gardens, but there were temples everywhere, including the sacrificial temple for the emperor, imperial ancestral temple. It was a very interesting visit, but very sad to see so many people worshiping idols. We saw worshipers lighting candles and burning incense and offering prayers and even bringing food and flowers to lay down before Buddha. You know, China, it may be surprising to you because China has been a communist nation since 1949. And so you would think that there wouldn't be any kind of worship going on there, but that's not true. China has the largest population of Buddhists in the world. Isn't that shocking? Even though it's a communist country, the largest population of Buddhists, 244 million. About 18% of its population is Buddhist, and so there are temples everywhere in China that we went. we would see people, like I said, offering sacrifices and worshiping these gods. And by the time we got done with our tour of China, we had seen enough idols to last us a lifetime. And we were very glad to get back to the United States and a country that has a Christian foundation. We don't have idols on every corner. We don't have days set aside to burn incense or light candles to our gods. We don't have temples where we offer bowls of rice or flowers to our gods. So having said that, I want you to think about this question I'm putting up here. So when it comes to the first commandment, and you know the first commandment, I hope you know that one, thou shalt have no other gods before me. So when it comes to the first commandment, we're doing a pretty good job, right? You know, I imagine if you're like me, or like I was, we tend to think of idols in terms of how I describe them. Statues of Buddha. Statues of gods. Whether they're made of stone, wood, or covered with bronze, or even gold. We tend to think of idols as something outside of us. Something foreign. Something you take pictures at far off places where there's temples dedicated to these gods. And just to give you an idea of what Americans think about idols, a survey found that 76% of Americans polled considered themselves completely true to the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now, I want you to think about that. That's how Americans feel and think about idolatry. And so I'm safe to say that many people in our churches feel this way, that I'm pretty good at keeping the first commandment. I'm pretty good at not having idols that I worship. But is it really true that we don't have a problem with idols? Is it really true that we here in America, that we here at Bible Baptist Church, don't have a problem with idols? I want you to turn your Bibles tonight to Matthew 22. In Matthew 22, this is a pretty familiar passage. We're just going to look at two verses in this passage and this story. In Matthew 22, in verse 37, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Why don't you just take a moment to pray? Father, we're so grateful for the blessings of rain that you've given us. Lord, we've had abundance of moisture. Lord, we're thankful for your blessings. Not just the showers that have been coming down upon our land, but the showers of blessing that you give in our spirits on a daily basis. Lord, we're so thankful that as we spend time with you and as we go to your word and as we gather together as a church family, that we can just bask in these showers of blessings that you've given us. Lord, we also know that many in our church family are going through some very severe trials and difficulties. But I'm thankful that your presence is with them and your grace is sufficient, and Lord, that you're fully aware of their needs. And Lord, I'm thankful tonight that You know our needs. You know our hearts. You know exactly what we need. And tonight in this message, as we begin this new series in A Love Gone Wrong, as we start looking over the next few weeks about idols of the heart, God, I pray that You'd give us an open mind, and Lord, that we would be willing to allow You to search our hearts and for things, for idols that should not be there. Lord, I pray that You would help me tonight as I bring this message, and Lord, that it would be delivered with clarity and according to the Scriptures. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Scripture we read, the story is that there was a lawyer, or a scribe, you could call him. He came to Jesus. He was trying to find a way to accuse Jesus of some heresy or some fault and trying to trick him. And so he asked Jesus, "Master, which is the great commandment of the law?" And so we read Jesus' response, that He said, "The great commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all of thy mind." If you're like me, I'm sure that you've heard that or read that verse many, many, many times. And probably so much that it's lost its impact. And so I want to reread it again slowly, and I want you to follow and read it with me. And I want you to think about what Jesus is telling us here, what He's commanding us here. Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment." What is our Lord commanding here? As you thought about this as we read it for the second time, what is our Lord commanding here? He's commanding our undivided and complete love and worship. That's what He's commanding. Our undivided and complete love and worship. And I don't know if you realize this, but this is addressed specifically in the first two commandments. Because the second commandment talks about, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image." So the first two address this specifically, but the other eight of the Ten Commandments illustrate it. I know He says this is the first and great, and the first half or so of the commandments deal with the love to God, the second half to our neighbor, but really think about it. How is our love for God illustrated? By obedience. By not committing adultery. By not coveting. By not stealing. By not bearing false witness. By not taking His name in vain. By honoring our father and mother. That's how the love of God is illustrated in how it's shown in our lives, is by the Ten Commandments. I don't know if you realize it, but There are some big themes in the Bible. We know one big theme is redemption. I mean, that's probably the major theme. The glory of God, a big theme. We see worship. We see things like God wanting fellowship with us, a fellowship with God, God and man. But if you study the Bible very, very carefully, you're going to find that one big theme among those others is idolatry. Not just the Old Testament, but the New Testament as well. I challenge you to search it out and see for yourself, because it's It's all through the Bible. Idolatry, and think about it, the first two commandments, and the first and great commandment deals with this very thing. We're to have no idols. We're to love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind. We're to have no idols. He wants our exclusive devotion and worship and love. That there's none else that can come in. It's undivided love and worship. I want to just say that people by nature are worshipers. We were created to be worshipers. People all around us are worshiping every day. I don't know if you realize it. Every day people are worshiping. Even people that don't believe in God. Yes, even atheists. Every person is made to worship. They're either worshiping God or they're worshiping idols. I want to look at this verse, Romans 1:25. We don't have time to look at that passage, but I want you to just look at this one verse. I'll put it up on the slide here. That who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. It's talking about this downfall of man and who was not thankful and did not glorify God as God. And it says in this verse, who changed the truth of God into a lie and served, or worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator. This word changed, I looked it up and it means exchange, to exchange. So I want you to think about it. They exchanged truth for a lie. Someone said that idols are God replacements. Idols are God replacements. That's what it is. An idol is a God replacement. Here, that scripture shows that to be true because they were changing the truth for a lie. They were exchanging the creature for the Creator. And so here's the question. Whom do you love? And whom are you worshiping? And when I ask that, I'm talking about supremely. I'm talking about first and foremost. And whom do you love? And whom are you worshiping? You know, we have to ask ourselves this question because if we're going to know what's in our hearts, we need to ask that. Do I love the Lord with all of my heart, all of my mind, all of my strength, all of my soul? Do I love the Lord with everything that I am? Are there any other loves in my heart that clamor for my attention? If we're honest, I think we're going to begin to see that idolatry is something more than Buddhist temples. It's something more than incense and burning of candles and offering of rice and flowers. I think if we're honest, we're going to see that idolatry has to do with love. Who or what do I love supremely? Because Jesus defined it for us. He broke down the first and great commandment, or the first and great table of the law of Ten Commandments was, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. You notice He didn't say worship, but I think worship's included in that. I think the two are connected, whom you love, you worship. Whom you worship, you love. So idolatry has to do with love. Who or what do I love supremely? And when we look at idolatry this way, we're going to see and find out that we're not so different from those people in China, those people in Nepal, those people in India, those people in Africa, in different places that are worshiping idols in temples. We're not any different. By this definition, we're not any different. I want to say tonight that idolatry is a love gone wrong. It's a love that's gone wrong. You know, in the Old Testament, we read on many occasions about Israel, how that Israel was guilty of worshiping idols of the pagan nations all around them. They worshiped Baal, Asheroth, and different gods of the Hittites and all the other ites. But let's not think that their idols that they worship were just statues in a temple. I want you to look in Ezekiel 14. Ezekiel chapter 14. I mean, here God tells us where idolatry takes place. Ezekiel 14, I want to read these first five verses of this passage. Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and sat before me, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart, and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired at all by them? Therefore speak unto them, and say unto them, Thus said the Lord God, Every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to the prophet, I the Lord will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all straying from me through their idols. So according to this passage, where are idols set up? Are they set up in the temple? Are they set up in one's house, in a corner somewhere? Are they set up in a little chapel in the neighborhood? Or according to this passage, it says they're set up in the heart. These idols are set up in the heart. He said they have set up their idols in their heart. Idolatry is a heart problem. I want to give you a definition tonight. An idol is anything or anyone that begins to capture our hearts and minds and affections more than God. An idol is anything or anyone that begins to capture our hearts and minds and affections more than God. I want you to really think about that definition, because according to that statistic, 74% of Americans said, oh, we do pretty good at keeping the first commandment. Because we as Americans, we tend to think that an idol is something outside of us. We think of an idol as something that's a statue in a temple somewhere. And we think that, hey, I don't have any idols in my house. I don't have any statues that I bow down to, that I burn candles before. And so we tend to think in our minds that idolatry, oh, don't apply to me. I don't have any idols. But let's wait a minute before we decide on that, because according to this definition, it's anything, so it can be a thing, or anyone, it can be a person, it can be your children, it can be your spouse, it could be your job, it could be money, it could be pleasure, it could be sex, it could be drugs, it could be hobbies and sports. It could be anything or anyone that begins to capture our hearts and minds and affections more than God. John Calvin, he said, the heart is a factory of idols. That's pretty descriptive. I didn't even know they had factories back in Calvin's day, but I guess they did. You know what a factory is? It produces things. It puts out products. And here he says that the heart is the factory of idols. It's just constantly putting out idols. Pastor Brad Bigney, I like what he said about that. He said this: our heart cranks out idols as fast as the flesh can set its sights on some new pleasure. Our heart cranks out idols. We in America, we're really in danger of idolatry more than, in some ways, more than some of these pagan countries that have temples with idols in them. When you think about it in this light, I mean, all the pleasures that we have at our hands because of our prosperity, because of our affluence, and it's so easy for those things to take our affections and our heart away from God. You know, as I said, idolatry is not spoken of in our pulpits. It's not even a concern in churches today. But I believe that idolatry is alive and well in hearts today. Idolatry, it's not just something that exists outside of us in temples and little stone statues, but it's something that lives within our hearts. Here's a big question right here. How can you spot an idol in your heart? How can you spot an idol in your heart? You know, this is an important question, because if we don't find these idols, then we are not going to be helped by this message. So how can you spot an idol in your heart? Well, I suggest you follow the trail of your money, your time, your thoughts, your affections. Follow the trail. When there's an idol set up in your heart, listen, you're going to sacrifice for it. You're going to sacrifice for it. You're going to spend time on it. You're going to spend money on it. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You're going to talk a lot about it. For out of the heart, abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, Jesus said. You know, the idol that's really in our heart is something that we're going to be talking about a lot. We're going to be serving it. You know, Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. We're going to be protecting and defending that idol, or our God, the thing that we worship, or the person we're going to protect and defend it. We're going to be thinking a lot about it. We're going to be worrying about it. We're going to be playing our schedule around it. We're going to get angry if someone tries to keep us from it. We're going to experience fear and anxiety if someone tries to take it from us. So you just find where your money, your time, your thoughts, your affections, where you spend most of your thinking on and most of your time on and most of your money on, it will probably give you a good idea who your idol is or what your idol is. And I want to just say this. Idolatry is not so much wanting the wrong thing, but wanting even good things too much. We tend to think of an idol as something that's very evil and wicked. I mean, yes, anything that takes the place of God is, but I want you to understand that it could be something good. It could be something good. I mean, for me, it could be running. Somebody thinks, how in the world could you... I mean, I hate running. How could you say that running would be an idol, something that you love? Pastor, you're insane. But you know, sometimes my mind can get so focused on it. I'll set a goal and it can, I can get focused and put a lot of time into it and even spend some money on it. And there's nothing wrong with running. There's nothing wrong with exercise. I mean, it's good. It's good for a person's health. It's good for sanity. There's a lot of benefits of exercise. But the point is if we, like it says, too much, do we put too much of our affections in that hobby or sport or that car or whatever it might be? If we find our identity in that person or that thing, it's an idol. Let me ask this question. Why is it so important that you examine your hearts to see if there are any idols? Why is it so important? And I want you to think about this, that idolatry, it's when we've lost the sense of our biblical priority. It's when we've left our first love, our priority love. Remember the church at Ephesus? Jesus wrote in that letter, or had that letter sent by John to the church at Ephesus, Revelation chapter 2, that first letter was to that church at Ephesus, and there's a lot of compliments Jesus gave that church. I mean, they were standing strong, they were steadfast, they were holding to the doctrine and of the Word of God. I mean, there were just a lot of good things Jesus said about that church, but He said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because you have left your first love. I mean, they had their doctrine right. They were serving. They were faithful. They were enduring persecution. They were enduring trials. They did not deny the name of Jesus. But yet Jesus said, I have something against you. See, idolatry is a love gone wrong. Idolatry is when we leave our first love. First in that passage, I don't know if you remember when I preached on it last, but that word first is a Greek word that speaks of first in priority. It speaks of a priority love. That we're to love Him with all of our heart. He is to take priority over all other things, all other loves. But why is it so important that you examine your hearts to see if there are any idols? And this is the reason why I think it's important. Idolatry is the greatest threat and hindrance to a close and intimate relationship with Jesus. Idolatry is the greatest threat and hindrance to a close and intimate relationship with Jesus. You know, a lot of, like I said earlier in the message and to be very beginning, that we're going to find out that behind every one of our besetting sins is an idol. Something that we're treating as an idol. And because of that, we can't get victory over those sins. And because of that, we can't love Jesus like we should love Him. Because we've got an idol in our heart. I know that it wasn't too long ago I preached through 1 John, and John, he's known as the Apostle of Love. He wrote 105 verses in his first epistle about the importance of living in a close and vital relationship with Jesus Christ. I mean, it's one of the big themes in 1 John is fellowship, intimacy with Christ, and how to maintain that fellowship. But I want you to look at the last verse in that 1 John 5. Look at the last verse. A startling conclusion. Very startling conclusion. This is in the New Testament. As you know, 1 John, New Testament. This is not Old Testament. This is New Testament. After writing about fellowship, writing about how we need to keep a close, intimate relationship with Jesus, his final statement is, "Little children, keep yourselves from idols." Amen. That's his last words. The word keep means guard. Guard yourself, protect yourself from idols. You know, it's just like that verse in Proverbs 4, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Keep our heart from idols. It said, keep yourselves from idols. Why? Because an idol will hinder that fellowship. An idol will hinder that intimacy with Christ. A lot of our problems in our marriages, a lot of our problems in our Christian walk, a lot of our problem in getting something out of the Bible, and a lot of our problems with having a really great prayer life. Listen, a lot of the problem is idolatry. That was eye-opening to me when I started studying this. I'm like, we're so blind to it. It's right in the Bible. We're so blind to the idols that are right in our own heart that we give affection, devotion, and time to more than God. Do you have any idols in your heart that are keeping you from having an intimate relationship with Jesus? That's a question only you can answer. And really, I just want to encourage every Christian here tonight. I want to encourage every Christian to pray about this message tonight when you go home. Maybe tomorrow when you get up, spend some time with the Lord in the morning. I want you to just spend some time praying, asking the Father, your Father, to reveal any idols that you have in your heart. To reveal your love gone wrong. To show you how you can develop wholehearted love for Him. Oh, I want to challenge you to do that. I mean, you're not going to, just by asking this question, you're not going to be writing down a whole list of idols right now. I mean, you're just probably kind of just blown away by, wow, this is heavy stuff, Pastor. I don't know. So So that's why I'm asking you to take some time when you go home to pray about it. To pray. I want you to think about this. Of how close you could be to Jesus if you would pray for the Father to reveal any idols in your heart and help you to love Him wholeheartedly. I want you to think about that. Think of how close you could be. Think of your relationship with the Lord, how sweet it could be. How much more you could get to know Jesus. If you can pray and ask the Father to reveal any idol and to help you to repent of that idol. If you go back some time and read Ezekiel 14, you know, he goes on, I think it's in verse 6, and he tells Israel to repent of their idols. You know, I want to close on a positive note because I know this is pretty heavy. But we as believers tonight, we can rejoice in this truth that God will hear our prayers when we pray with sincerity of heart, asking to show us any idols. And God will use His Word. He will use His Spirit to show us. And we can rejoice in the fact that our Father, He's given us everything we need to spiritually overcome these idols. There's hope. We may have something that we battled with. There may be an idol that's been in our hearts for a long, long, long time that we don't know how there's any way we could dethrone that idol out of our heart. But I want to give you hope tonight. There is hope because our God is able. And He's given us His Son, Jesus Christ. Think about Jesus. He perfectly loved and worshipped His Father. Perfectly. There is no idolatry ever. Where the Father said of His Son, "This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Jesus never one time had any idol in His heart. Perfectly loved the Father. Perfectly worshipped the Father. Though we still struggle with it, He never did. We can rejoice that not only did Jesus live a perfect life for us, but He also paid for all of our idolatry. When He went to the cross, this is a thought that kind of blew me away, that when Jesus was on the cross, the Father looked at His Son in the moment that He bore our sins as the greatest idolater in the world. From you and I. Because of all of our sin was on Him. All of our idolatries, all of our love gone wrong was on Him. And that was when Jesus cried out, as we read in Psalm 22 this Sunday, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" In that very moment, He bore our sins. In that very moment, Jesus took the weight of all of our idolatry. And He bore it on the cross. Isn't it amazing that when we come to Jesus in faith, we put our faith and trust in Him, that our Father looks at us as He looks at Jesus. He looks at us as having a heart with perfect worship and love. Because we're justified in His sight. And yet, in practice, we struggle with love. Loving my Father, loving our Savior with all of our hearts. But we can rejoice finally knowing that Jesus is our advocate. He is praying for us. He is interceding for us. He knows that when we're sorely tempted and tried, He prays for us. Because of his prayer, we know that our faith will never fail. We can rest in him confidently. What I'm saying is that there's a lot of hope for us because we have a mighty Savior who is able to not just save us from idols, but to work in our hearts on a day-by-day basis and help us to conquer and get victory over idols. And if you're here tonight and you don't know Christ, he's a wonderful Savior. He's able to save all that come to God through him, seeing that he ever lives. He paid for your sin. He died for your sin. He bore it on the cross. And he offers eternal life to you tonight. You know, think about the love of our Savior. Think about what he did for us. How it should make us hate every idol. They would try to get into our hearts. It should make us hate them. It should make us want to go cut those idols down and cast them out. Just to think about how much Christ did for us, how much he loves us. And so I challenge you to, again tonight, let's pray that the Father would show us any idols in our hearts and help us to deal with those idols, to put them away, to help us keep ourselves from idols. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your powerful word. And Lord, sometimes we can be so blind to sins in the heart. So often we think, well, I'm doing all the right things that I know to do right. And sometimes, Lord, we fail to look at our hearts. We fail to see that behind the sin behind the sin. The sin behind the sin is idolatry. God, help us. Show us the idolatries that we're guilty of. Show us the idols that are in our hearts. Help us, Lord, to know that we can repent of them so that we can remove them. And Lord, help us that we can love you with a perfect heart, with complete love and devotion, and not to let any person or anything steal the affection that only you deserve. Only you are worthy of our full love, devotion, and worship. None other. And you don't share your glory with anyone. And so, Lord, I pray you'd help us, Lord. And I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.